Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, our faithful listeners. This is the Simcast, your weekly source for a thinly veiled excuse to talk about sim racing, but sometimes it just turns into open season. This is going to be one of those programs.
Open season!
Yes, this is going to be one of those programs again. I am, of course, Mr. Ben Williams. It's Team US week still, so Mr. Satterley, my ever-faithful sidekick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Try not to sound like you're excited to be here.
I am excited to be here. Just as I was told just before we came on the air, had to keep an eye out on the soon-to-be 2-year-old nephew, and it just a little tired. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was just the 2 hours I was with him, and my wonderful fiance Lisa was with him all day. I don't know how she did it.
Yeah, I was going to say she's your fiance, so I already knew that she was a saint. This, of course, is the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
And not about our family personal lives.
Yes. This is episode 17, if I'm correct in my math.
Well, don't ask me.
Yeah, well. Anyway, this is going to be a bit of a different show this week. So, full disclosure of how these episodes usually come about. On Tuesday evenings, I scoured the internet, going through some of my favorite sim racing news article sites. See if I can find interesting topics for us to talk about on this program. For whatever reason, there's not much going on this week. So we're going to do something a little bit different. And now for something completely different. We've kind of touched on this bits and pieces previously on previous shows, because that's how time works.
I think we have had a full dedicated show to this
We haven't had a full dedicated show to this particular topic, which is talking about how to get started in sim racing. So if you have a friend out there who's interested in getting to sim racing, or they are interested in just doing a little bit more, learning about what else is out there, this will be the show that you send them, dear listeners. Of course, you can... We will get to that in a second, but of course, you can still follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL to tell us what you're thinking about the show. And of course, all of the hosts here are members of the MeWeek Motorsports Collective, Listeners Collective. Before we get into that subject, there were a few tiny little pieces of news that I just wanted to cover from this week. First of all, yesterday, if you're listening to this live today, when Lewis and I record this, iRacing tweeted out one of the first looks at the Motorland Aragon circuit in Spain. Which will be coming to the service soon. They confirmed that this was going to be coming to the service back in March, whenever they announced Misano, Jerez, and they also announced when they're going to be redoing Zandvoort. So we knew this was coming. It's nice to see it. It's probably going to be coming out in the same update whenever we get Willow Springs, which we talked about last week.
Well, it's exciting for iRacers.
Yes. iRacers also, for those who are taking part in the Nürburgring 24 this weekend, good luck. It's Nürburgring, so you're...
The Insanity?
Yes. I thought about doing it this year, but then I realized, oh wait, that falls on Mother's Day, and I value my continued existence. So... I better make sure that I'm not racing that day.
Good call, sir. Good call.
Yes. Anyway, sorry.
Speaking of
Go ahead.
Of insanity, I heard you went to a sprint car race for the first time.
I did, yes. And I slowly, finally regained my hearing.
No, it was, was that it even with earplugs?
I had earplugs in. It was not bad at all.
I'm not too sure if where you're at, if they have to run mufflers or not.
I don't believe they do, because I've definitely been around the speedway on evenings when there was a race, but I wasn't there, and I could definitely hear it from about 2 miles away. So,
gotcha. And yeah. In case anybody's wondering, he lives near Mechanicsburg, so he gets to go to the wonderful historic Williams Grove Speedway.
Yes. And I'm currently working on plans to go to Port Royal as well.
I was going to say, if you wanted to go again, this weekend would be the one to go to, because that one actually is Outlaws versus Posse this weekend. So
I'm heading up to visit. We're driving up to visit my sister for Mother's Day, so that instead of my sister driving down here.
That'd be exciting,
though. My parents live near me, so. Anyway, yes, it was a lot of fun, honestly. I went with Tor's Vice President, Ted, and a couple of his co-workers, because...
Oh, Ted went with you?
Yes.
Nice!
None of my co-workers, because, you know, I work for a social justice nonprofit, not a lot of motorsport fans in that crowd, so I went with Ted and his engineering co-workers.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that he was that local to you.
He is that local to me. This is still a fairly new thing within the last couple months.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, because I thought he lived down here in my neck of the woods in Florida.
No, he was in Georgia before.
Georgia, that's what it was. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun to go to those type of races with engineers, because they're sitting there, you know, geeking out over how the cars are built and how they work and all the little I can't talk.
Well, how primitive them things are still to this day.
Yeah, all the little idiosyncrasies that those cars have to make them work, like, you know, no transmission, no clutch, they're still carbureted, that kind of thing.
No, they're fuel injected now.
Are they fuel injected?
Oh yeah.
I stand corrected. Okay, is it throttle body fuel injection or is it port fuel injected?
Port fuel injected.
Port fuel.
I got pictures somewhere that you can get a good idea of it. Literally, the fuel injector sits right next to the spark plug.
Are they on? Or do they run fuel rails then?
No.
So it is throttle body.
Yeah, I guess you would be right. Duh.
Yeah.
There goes my tired brain not working.
No, it's okay. So it's still more or less carbureted, but they are fuel injected.
Yeah. Well, one thing a lot of people don't realize is that you look at these things now from what they originally derived off of.
Mm-hmm.
They really haven't evolved much, and a lot of people don't know it, but they are based off of the old 1950s, early 60s IndyCar roadsters.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally built to the exact same spec as those, only they were made smaller for shorter races.
And they're Gen 2 big block Chevys, aren't they? Well, spell block, big block.
No, lately there's been some resurgence out there with other manufacturers, because in the early 2000s, you either had a choice of Chevy, a Ford, or a Mopar.
Mm-hmm.
Mopar got out of the game a long time ago. Ford dropped out of it because nobody was really using anything.
Yeah.
Only lately, Tony Stewart Racing with Donnie Schatz, they've been doing Ford, and Toyota, as of late, has been really developing a new engine, which it's gotten a couple of successes, but they're still ironing out kinks with that one.
Yeah. Considering that at least Tony's NHRA team is the Mopar team, I thought that maybe they would be running some Mopar bases.
No, unfortunately, there's no more Mopar engines out there in sprint car racing at the moment. Okay. And if they are, they're dinosaurs.
Well,
which is interesting, because that was the motor to have in the early 2000s. Was a Mopar.
They're older design blocks.
Oh, so yeah. Like
70s, 80s blocks, something like those.
Oh, they all are that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a couple of guys were asking about the engines and asking if they were LSs, and it's like, yeah, nope. Not really.
No, it's a 410 cubic inch.
Mm-hmm. Big old American V8, cast iron. Cast iron, or they'd be aluminum?
I was going to say, I think a lot of them have started to go towards aluminum, even though they're all still based on the molds. I mean, you got to think about it. The car only weighs 900 pounds.
Yeah.
Actually, a little over 1,000 pounds, really, with the driver in it.
Yeah.
And then it has 900 horsepower, and it runs on methanol.
Yep.
So, basically, don't even need a spark plug, but they throw one in there anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely could smell the ethanol or the methanol where I was.
Yeah, burnt methanol will, if you're not used to it, it can give you the good jitters. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Like, if you're the type of person I am, where you watch sprint car racing and you're basically just sitting there, even sitting down in the grandstands, you're just sitting on the balls of your feet, and then all of a sudden your legs will just start jumping. Like you got a nervous tick or something, but it's just.
Yeah, I have grown to miss that smell.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, sprint car racing, I know, is the only one that still runs methanol. Everybody else uses a form of E10 or E85, effectively. None of it's leaded anymore, unless you go to a kart race. I think karting is the only thing that still runs leaded fuel.
Because they have to, because of the way the engines are.
Yeah, those do.
Yeah.
Various reasons, but yeah. I mean, you can run pump gas. You actually get more power that way, but it's... Mm-hmm. Very much so frowned upon. So,
yeah. Just in case anyone is wondering, we are still the Simcast that we do occasionally.
Well, normally I'm the one that gets to share my racing experiences, so this is fun hearing yours.
Yeah. No. We also sat. I sat directly behind the flag box. So
that's a good safe spot to do. That way, you don't get covered in crud.
I was going
to
say because of the way Williams Grove is, because it is so smushed. I was not getting showered with dirt or anything along those lines.
I was going to say, from what I've seen of where Williams Grove is, the start-finish line is dead center on your straightaway, so you could have gone down a section or two and not been covered, because when I go to Volusia, I sit about halfway up the grandstands and about halfway between turns one and two, which really isn't that far.
Yeah.
Because mine's more circular than yours. Same size track, but more circular. And I don't get covered in stuff unless I have a direct wind coming straight at my face.
Yeah. So. A couple rows down from us, you can definitely tell that dirt was coming up into the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Where we were.
Nothing. Before even a car has turned a lap, if you go up there and the grandstands are empty, you could see where the dirt line is.
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, we did not get there early enough for all the hot laps or to do any of the pit stuff. Next time I go, I want to make sure that I go early so that I can go down to the pits and nerd out about engines for a little while.
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to do that, you need to go down way early, because whenever they start the racing program, everybody's just nonstop the whole time. So if you're going to do that, that would have to be like spend all day up there and watch them load in and be able to ask them the questions as they're working there.
They opened the gates 2 hours before the racing started. And when because I had the drive pass where the track where we were meeting, the line was already out into the road from the track.
Oh, I can believe that.
Yeah. People were trying to get in.
I can absolutely believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that being said, you've mentioned it a few times, but are you hooked or something you're going to try to do as much as possible, especially with considering your location?
Yeah. I'll say the same thing to you. I said to Eve whenever she asked me at Watkins Glen last year if I'm hooked. I was already hooked. I'm just now more hooked.
Yeah, sprint car racing is a 4D experience, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And definitely when I have more time, maybe next week, because this week's kind of crazy, I got my circle wheel out that I got with my original Thrustmaster wheel. And because, you know, quick release, I can now switch my rims without having to unbuild half the wheel. So I'm gonna do some more of that. It was really hard to do that kind of racing with a D-sheet wheel and with a open wheel rim, so I'm looking forward to that. Anyway,
I have success with it, but it also depends on how comfortable you are in the car and how much you're going to be sawing at the wheel. If you're going to be sawing at it, then yeah, not a good idea, but...
Mm-hmm. It's also less likely that, because I have a direct drive wheel, I need to be aware of getting kicked.
Oh, yeah. Then there's that.
Yeah.
Well, not, now you just got to worry about getting a rug burn from your steering wheel.
Yeah. Poor Jordan's been kicked a couple times. And all we get is a swear word and then a picture of him with frozen peas on his hand or something along those lines.
See, you guys are making me feel even more glad that I do not have one of these wheels yet.
You got to try one out, though.
I'd love to try one, but I don't see myself getting one anytime soon. So, not until this servo dies out. So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, it really is a different driving experience. It really is. Now that we've taken like a 10-minute tangent on
that was only 10 minutes?
Yeah, it was only 10 minutes.
That was a blink of an eye.
Yeah. And I also realized about 5 minutes ago, I didn't start our clock. So I'm basing this off of whenever I started the recording and how long the recording is.
Oh, boy. When,
yeah. So, seat of the pants tonight, gentlemen. The other piece, little tiny piece of some racing news that I wanted to share was that, do you remember, Mr. Satterley, I was talking about the F1 arcades.
F1 arcades. Excuse me. Frog in the throat there for a second. What in particular?
The F1 arcades that they're opened up in the UK.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
We show up in a sim rig and
yeah,
be able to go crazy.
You can have themed food based around where the different rounds of the F1 championship are.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do remember this now. Yes.
Yes, they have announced earlier this week that they will be opening one in Boston.
Okay.
Yep, the Boston location will feature 60 sims, be able to accommodate 200 guests.
Wow.
And is set to open in early 2024.
Not bad. That, I would have to say that's probably a pretty good location to have it. Somewhere in a major city, I would say.
Yeah, this is
on the outskirts of a major city. Anyway.
This is the only the third one that I can think of, with the second one opening later this year in Birmingham.
So
not Alabama, UK.
Still, that'd be awesome, though.
Yeah, I do have a slight concern though, because these are being, or at least, if I remember correctly, Motorsport Games does have some stake in these.
So, okay. Well,
considering the state of Motorsport Games, which I saw this briefly. I wasn't going to put it in the run of show, but I did see that they're having an investors call beginning of next week, I believe it is. Kind of talk about the current state of the company.
Well, that's because according to what we know, is that basically they are already strapped for cash for this year, which is why you're not going to see a lot of content dropping for R Factor 2 or for any more updates that they're doing for the NASCAR side, mostly because they don't have the money to develop these things right now. So basically the changes that they've been made or recently have done, I think are a step in the right direction. Hopefully. They could survive this year and we could finally see what happens, because basically any spare money that they have left over this year is going to roll over to next year's budget already. And this was determined back in March.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long way to go for a company just to skirt by.
Yeah. I think it was March when the former CEO stepped down and the returning CEO.
Right.
Came in, but still upward battle. They're going to have to do a lot to right the ship, as it were.
Oh, yeah. And the moves that they've made, Dimitri finally realized that it's not working out the way that he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or he was forced out of his position, which me personally, I'm kind of hoping it was that case. And they've brought in the competent person who was the one that was helping them get all the deals secured and all these great things whenever they were buying up the gaming market with other companies and such to bring in. So, fingers crossed.
Yep. Hopefully, this new CEO was willing to work a little bit more with other titles so that we can have, you know, that this whole exclusive thing that they have going on, which isn't really exclusive, but you know what I mean.
Oh, well, we could thank IndyCar for that one on this one.
Yeah, that won't be IndyCar, but I'm talking more so like the BEC stuff,
mm-hmm.
Le Mans, all of that jazz, where they're going to be where at least in previous months they've kind of clutched on to those IPs and those copyrights with an iron fist, which, you know, is their right to do so as copyright is written, but time and time again we've seen that the more that you can get your the more eyes and into hands of that you can get your I keep wanting to say
the product, more hands and eyes you can get on your product.
Yeah.
That's what I think you're trying to get there.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know if product's the right word in this case. But I'm going to go with it. The more exposure that you can get to what your program is, the better off it is. I.e. Porsche with EA. And how, after the end of their exclusive deal, Porsche just kind of exploded onto every platform. Anyway. That about does it. So, last 40-ish minutes of tonight's program should just be the featured story. So, you want to get started in sim racing, huh?
Yes, please.
I wrote down a couple of just like general tips and tricks and some things that you need to consider whenever you're starting sim racing, and we're just gonna go through them just in a bit of a different order that I had wrote them down, Louie.
Okay.
Just depending on how the conversation goes, because I want this to be more of a conversation than a here's a tip, if that makes sense.
Sounds good to me. Let's get going. Okay.
So, first of all, whenever you're entering sim racing, I think it's important to go into it with an open mind and to kind of tamper your expectations of what you're expecting to be able to accomplish. First of all, you might not be the next Max Verstappen. You might just not be as fast as everyone else. That's fine. The sim racing market is so vast and there's so many people doing it now that no matter where you go, you're going to find someone who you can race against, which is the entire point of sim racing, in my mind, is that finding that close-knit group of people that you know that, okay, I can race Louie side by side and I'll have a great time doing it, that kind of thing. Also, it's important to remember, you know, not all races are going to go your way.
Exactly.
Yeah, crap happens in racing. Things break, things go wrong. Someone might outbrake themselves and collide into you. Sometimes you might outbrake yourself and fly off into the gravel. Crap happens. That's just part of racing.
Check.
Yeah, so don't go into every race expecting it to be the perfect race. And in that same realm, don't go into every race expecting
to have a terrible time either.
Oh yeah, don't go into every race expecting to have a terrible time or building up way too much pressure on yourself to be able to race effectively.
First and foremost, if your first idea is to not have fun, and it's simply to say that you're a great racer, this is not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, you have to have fun with it. And you have to find a way that having fun with it means to you. Whether that could be someone like Ben, Jordan, and Matt, where you guys like to race online, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. Or somebody like me, who doesn't really like the online scene because of other things we'll also talk about. So I stick to offline stuff, mm-hmm. but still have a great experience myself.
Yeah. Yeah, sim racing can be tailored to whatever kind of experience that you want to make it. And particularly with the online stuff, because particularly on iRacing, and maybe a couple, well, any online environment, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, entering a race, just putting like undue pressure on yourself. I know I said this already, but I wanted to finish the thought. It's not going to be as fun. And particularly, at least for me, I always go into a race with the mantra of, this race isn't that important.
Right. No matter what happens, life will go on.
Mm-hmm. And something else to remember, that if you're doing this to become, you know, this is the silly example that popped into my head. If you're going into sim racing expecting to win $20,000 to help you
instantly,
to help you pay off your mortgage, yes, I am referring to the sim racing, or the sim racer movie, which which Jordan and I did watch over the weekend.
Oh God,
we'll talk about that later, off layer, because. Oh, I have thoughts. Anyway,
I'd be concerned if you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, not every league race or any online race that you start is going to get you famous. It may not be live streamed. It probably won't be live streamed. So if you're going into sim racing expecting to be the next Jimmy Broadbent, or something along those lines,
Jimmy Broadbent, I heard he has a great internet connection.
Yeah, this Freudian slip. If you're going into sim racing expecting to be that, again, maybe tamper your expectations a little bit. Anyway, that's just...
Now that we've taken the fun out of the show.
Now that we've taken the fun... Yeah, let's talk about the other part of sim racing that... we probably mentioned first, the cost. Sim racing can be as cheap or as expensive as you want it to be.
You can't get it for $0.
You can't do it for $0 unless you have, you know, someone who pays all the money for you.
But again, we're going back into being sponsored and expecting a mortgage payment right away.
Yes. You can totally do some racing just by, you know, buying a cheap PC or buying a console and just doing it that way. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly legitimate. You can also spend $2,000-$4,000 on a custom gaming PC and do it that way. That is also perfectly legitimate. You can do some racing on just a pad. That's fine if you're doing Forza and Gran Turismo. That's perfect for that. But when you start getting into the more simulation-style racing, like iRacing, ACC, AC, for that matter, you can do them with a gaming pad. It's just harder.
Way harder.
Way harder, yeah. Particularly if you're trying to save tires, that's very hard to do on a controller in particular. So you can't, if you want to do wheels, you can go in that direction. There are many wheels out there in the market. If you just want something for a couple $100, Logitech G29, G920, the Thrustmaster T248, and I don't remember name of the less expensive Fanatec one. Oh wait, no, I'm sorry. Thrustmaster T18. I forgot about that one. That one's the same price as the Logitech. It's all up in there in my head somewhere.
Somewhere in that headspace.
Yeah. If you want to go down that route, that's great. If you have a little bit more money, you want to start looking at more expensive wheels. The Fanatec, the Thrustmaster T248, I'm trying to think of mid-range wheels are pretty much your best options, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is completely this is mostly unplanned, so we're just kind of...
Yeah, we're trying to wing it. But now, going into all that, Ben, that all sounds great and all, but what if I need to just find out if this is even for me? What is the cheapest route that we can go into that? I would simply say console and just buy a Forza, buy a Gran Turismo, buy
You can't buy Forza 7 anymore.
Right, but...
But you can get
Horizon, you can if you find somebody who has a hard copy somewhere. Buy a secondhand one.
Yeah. If you don't want to go that route, there's always the Horizon series, which is basically the same physics as Forza Motorsports games. Or Forza Motorsport, excuse me, games. They're just a little bit more grippy. A little bit more arcadey. And also, something that we should probably also mention in this, if you don't want to spend a lot of money but want something a little bit more pricey, you can always look at the secondhand market. eBay. Mm-hmm. SimTrader? The one that...
Yes, I completely forgotten about that website.
Yeah, Matt talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. The one where it is effectively a website that you can go purchase and look at secondhand stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in any of the sim racing discords, usually there is some type of
marketplace
in those. For instance, I'm in the Moradness Discord, as I am a fan of their gloves and have been using them a lot, and their socks too. Those are quite nice. That stuff I'm going to talk about, but I'm just going to look in the marketplace section on that Discord right now. And so as I can remember where it is in this Discord. Doing things live is always the fun place. let's see. There's a Formula Podium F1 Fanatec wheel right there. There is a Precision Sim Engineering Pro wheel. There's a SimiCube wheel. There's a P1 Sim Ed Rouge wheel. There's an entire Fanatec GTDD Pro. SimTag hydraulic pedals.
How much are those going for?
Huh?
How much are they selling those for?
£1,250.
Okay, next person.
Yes. here's a SimX Pro GT seat. So you can as people upgrade or get new equipment, they have to do something with the old stuff. So chances are, whatever you're looking for, you can probably find it for cheap somewhere else.
Amazon's not a bad place to get stuff secondhand either.
Yeah, Amazon's not a bad place either. Amazon also has some pretty good deals on depending on what kind of materials you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Almost daily.
Yeah.
You just have to know what you're looking for and find it. Yeah. But there's something in the sim racing world that Amazon has some sort of deal on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other wheels wise, we haven't talked about DDs yet. Moza.
Well,
Thrustmaster.
If you're getting started, I would stay clear of a DD. No sense in spending that kind of money on something you potentially might not like.
Yeah. The DD wheel is great, but if I had started on the DD wheel, I don't know if I would have had as much fun. So keep that in mind going into it. We haven't even talked about shifters yet. There's a wide variety of shifters from, you know, just the main three, Logitech, Moza, Fanatec, well, four, Thrustmaster. Each of them have their own H-pattern shifter. There's a couple other standalone things. Like Thrustmaster has a handbrake / sequential shifter that you can purchase. There's a couple of different, like, load cell handbrakes that you can purchase too, as well, if you want to do drifting and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But again, whatever you want to do, do your research, figure out, okay, this is roughly what my budget is. I can, if I want to spend all the money on that, I can probably get plans for a wooden rig and just build it myself from stuff from Lowe's.
You could do that. Seen again, people make them out of PVC.
Yep, PVC.
Or if you're like me and you don't have the space for that sort of thing, I just strap my wheel down onto my desktop, use a doorstop to angle it at the right side that I want to be my pitch on it, and put my pedals down on a little kickbox and use a PC gaming seat that looks like a car seat anyway. So,
Yeah. There are no right or wrong ways to do this.
And by the way, I will suggest this for anybody that is using a gaming chair to get a gel-filled cushion to put under your backside for those long sessions where you might have pressure on your backbone there. You know which one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It relieves a lot of pressure on that, and it can make your session a lot more enjoyable and a lot more comfortable. So
I'll have to remember that for my next endurance race.
Yeah, that's a nice, cheap $25 to $30 purchase. So they're fairly inexpensive.
Yeah. Anyway, so enough about hardware. Let's talk software.
That's a whole another broad subject altogether.
Yeah. First of all, before you even think about what platform you want to race on, do you want to go the iRacing route? Do you want to go the ACC route? Before you even do that, let's think about the type of racing that you want to do. Do you want to do open wheel? Do you want to do GT racing? Do you want to do street cars, prototypes, oval, dirt oval, karting? There are a wide variety of sims that do all of those things.
Literally, they do all of them.
Yeah, literally, in the case of AC, they do all of them by the power of modding.
Yep. And R-Factor 2, and iRacing doesn't quite do everything, but they do close to almost all of that.
Yeah. They do everything but karting.
There you go.
Well, you can argue that some of those, like the former V, is basically a kart, but let's not get into that. Yeah, once you determine what you want to do in that realm, that's probably going to help you pick out the type of platform you want to go into from there. If you're looking for open wheel, R-Factor 2, AC with a bunch of mods, the Formula One games, as you know, as much as we like to rag on them for being copy-paste every year, apparently 23 is getting a completely different handling model they've been testing.
If you want really good arm workout, F1 games are great for you too.
Yeah.
The force feedback on those games is hellacious.
Yeah, and as Jordan has said several times in this program when he was on here, some of the best single player racing that he's had has been on the F1 games with their AI.
I agree.
Yeah. If you want to do GT racing, pick one.
GT racing, I would say ACC would probably be your best bet on that one, actually.
Yeah, ACC was probably the best, most realistic experience. Mm-hmm. iRacing has a great GT racing platform. AC, you can do a lot of GT racing on there, again, through the power of mods. You can do GT racing on Forza, even though Forza doesn't understand the difference between a GTE and a GT3 and a GT4, but I'm not getting on that topic right now. You can do GT racing on Forza. You can do GT racing on Gran Turismo. You can do GT racing in Race Room and on Live for Speed, I think, has some GT racing as well. AMS2. I haven't even mentioned AMS2. AMS2 also has open wheel. So,
That is the bread and butter of most of them. So
you might need to say that again, my friend, because you went completely robotic.
I went robotic?
Yes.
Am I still sounding robotic?
No, you're not now.
Okay, I was going to say, basically, if you want to do energy,
apparently, Discord does not want you to say that sentence. And I think I might have just lost my co-host.
I'm still here.
Okay. You're very...
Okay. Am I still robotic?
You're still robotic. Hopefully that clears up in the next couple minutes.
I have no idea why I'd...
Okay. While you're looking at that, I'm going to talk about streetcars. For streetcars-wise, there's a bunch of AC mods that you can get. It's questionable if they're good or not. It really depends on the mod itself. There's a lot of mods out there that it's basically they took the 2015 Mustang and put a different body on it. So it's not quite accurate to the way the car would have driven, but it's, you know, a rough estimation. Probably for street cars, GT and Gran Turismo and Forza is probably going to be your best bet, namely because they do the whole upgrade system better than anyone else in the market. Honestly.
Currently, I would say Gran Turismo for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Forza, at least for Horizon 5, they did up their game a little bit with adding things like you can actually hear when you put turbos on the car. You can hear wastegates, all those things. You can actually hear a difference whenever you put different racing exhausts on the car. They used to do that. Not sure why it went away, but it's back now, so I'm happy about that. somehow I always talk about how Forza disappoints me, but anyway. welcome to the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news and how disappointed we are in Forza.
It's like that sibling of yours that, you know, just has all the potential and all the opportunity in the world and just throws it away.
Yes. Prototype racing. iRacing,
very niche.
Very niche. iRacing has a lot of good options for that, particularly when they're going to be adding the P3 later this year.
Just in time for it to be canceled out of the official series that IMSA uses.
Well, it will go in. Honestly, we will have a VP.
Oh, yeah.
Professional
no doubt.
VP Fuels series.
No doubt.
Yeah. Because GT4s are still quite popular on iRacing.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
Yeah. I mean, I would be slightly critical towards iRacing. The GT4s were not that good a couple months ago. They've gotten substantially better whenever they updated the tire model on them.
Yay.
So, I mean, they're not quite AC good. It just kind of like how the GT3 cars are not quite AC good, but digressing. There's also some prototype racing you can do on R-Factor 2 and AC via official and mod stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On
R-Factor 2, a lot of the unofficial mods are fantastic.
Yeah, there's some really good ones for AC as well. Particularly from the likes of URD.
URD for sure. That's paid content, but you do get what you paid for on that one.
Yeah.
R-Factor 2, I would say the best prototype mod you can actually get, and it's the older generation prototypes, is from Enduracers.
Because
you get, granted it's all P2, so you get the Ligier, the Orca 03, Orca 05, the Zytec, and there's another one in there. It's totally escaping my mind at the moment. But anyway, you get a wonderful variety of prototypes that you can use.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the older prototypes that came out a couple of months ago from... Oh, the name's on the tip of my tongue. RSR, I want to say.
RSS?
RSS, no. Yes, yeah, that's what it is. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I can't remember. Anyways.
I'll look it up later, just because I'm not remembering what it is right now, but really good mods available out there for AC and R-Factor 2 as well.
And we're not going to get just through the rabbit hole that is mods, because that can be a whole show on itself.
That literally could be a whole show. hopefully, maybe one day we can get some of these modding groups on the show again. We've had Grogle mods on before.
Well, we've had Pit Stop Modding Group on there here as well, but albeit he was under the Satellite Racing banner, which he no longer has association with, Matt Strand. See about getting him on the show again if he's not too busy.
Yeah. Like maybe we should plan on that being the next quote unquote filler show.
Yeah.
Anyway, oval racing, iRacing, honestly. If we're talking paved oval.
Yeah, for sure. Even dirt oval stuff, really.
Yeah. Well, dirt oval, you at least had the option of doing the World of Outlaws game.
You do, but I would not consider that. Well, you can make it a simulation if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of details that you could do with that, but I would solely say
really?
Let me unmute myself again because I accidentally knocked my button. What did you hear last?
I would say
R Factor 2 mm-hmm. does have a dirt racing mod, but it's very, very new. And so new that I just recently found it like within the last month or two, and I'm not impressed with it, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Yeah, so for sure, paved oval, iRacing. Dirt oval, still, I would say iRacing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, karting. And there's a couple other... Louis, you've gone full robotic again. Yeah. Well, while Lois is working on that again, these are just the ones that I thought of off the top of my head. There's a couple other disciplines that you can look at. We even talked about endurance racing, which again, if anything you can do with GTs or with the prototypes, that would be great for endurance racing. Karting, there's the kart sim title that's associated with R Factor 2. And what is the name of the other title?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Then I went full robot.
Yeah. There's another kart sim title. Kartcraft? Is that what it is?
Kartcraft. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Kartcraft is which... No, that is the motorsport game one.
Yeah, that's the one that is strictly 100%. All karting. Kart Sim is the one that is built into R Factor 2.
Okay. Yeah.
So, same company, two different platforms, two different ways of doing it.
Yeah. So, and you can also do it on, you know, older titles like Project Cars and Project Cars 2.
Which, by the way, both of those are still fantastic sims for what they are.
Yeah. For what they are, they still hold up. We don't talk about Project Cars 3.
We steer clear of that.
Yeah, that goes in the same category as Forza Motorsport 5. We don't talk about them.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Just gave me nightmares. It's like that one meme that goes around to where it has the helicopters off in the background and somebody's getting a flashback to Vietnam. That's literally what I'm getting right there.
Yes. Oh, boy. Anyway. So if you figured out the type of racing that you want to do, we've already gone through a lot of the platforms. iRacing is great because it does a little bit of everything, which also means that iRacing doesn't do anything well. There are a couple of things that iRacing does the best on, but there are other things that other sims do better.
Not many. It's safe to say that that's the case for pretty much any of them.
Yeah. R Factor 2, same kind of thing. R Factor 2 has a greatly different range of vehicles compared to iRacing, just because they have those official IndyCar things, at least. Coming. I don't believe the IndyCar, or am I misremembering? The IndyCar is not in R Factor 2 yet, right?
Yes, it is. It has been for a little over a year.
Okay. It's hard to keep track of everything all the time. And I don't play R-Factor 2 that often. I actually don't think I have it installed right now, if I'm honest.
Oh, that's a shame, because I was going to show you about a mod that you can get.
Yeah.
That has the modern-day hypercars in it.
I ran out of room on my SSD. I need to get a bigger one so that I can have it installed. They also have all the...
Way to make that plug in there for what type of show we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, R-Factor 2 also has all the BTCC cars for the title that we don't know when it's coming out or if it's coming out.
It's just kind of, yeah, that's a big if on that one.
Yeah, it's just been kind of lost to the ether the last couple of years. R-Factor 2 also has all the official WEC stuff, so expect all the hypercars to get to that platform at one time or another.
Currently, there's only the van wall for official content.
Yes, and unfortunately, it's the van wall.
Which is actually a very fun car to drive.
It's just not great over life.
No, but I mean...
Yeah.
If everybody else is racing a van wall and you're on the side of a van wall, it's a platform thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got the same thing to deal with.
Yep. AMS2, a lot of Brazilian content, so if you're looking for something a little bit different, that's probably where you want to look. AMS2 also has a bunch of historic circuits, older vehicles along those lines, so if that's what you're into, that would be a good place to do it.
Same thing with Assetto Corsa on that one, the original Assetto Corsa.
Yeah. AMS2 also was the only place for a little while that you could drive the Brazilian stock cars. Those are also now on iRacing, not as popular as many people expected them to be, unfortunately. AMS2 also has all the great American racing content that they've brought in over the last couple months, including the totally not Dallara that we talked about last week.
Totally not a Dallara. That thing's still weird.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
I understand that, but whew.
Yeah. AC, again, modded to your heart's content.
Yep. AC and R-Factor 2, if you are into modding, those are probably the two best bets that you have.
Yeah. If you're going to play AC, though, just go into the modding route, honestly. There's so much great content out there that you can purchase. You can usually get AC for like $8 in a Steam sale.
I think it's cheaper than that right now.
It might be cheaper than that right now.
Let's see. I'll go look that up.
Is looking at that. Content manager for AC literally changes the game. Look at getting...
Right now it's $20 right now.
Okay. Well, Steam sale, be on the lookout for those. Mm-hmm. Be sure to get things such as hold on, I'm looking up the name of the mod because I want to make sure I call it the right thing. Make sure you get custom shaders patch. It's again changes the game completely. There's a lot of third-party content that would be great for any of these games. We haven't talked about Crew Chief yet for iRacing, even though Crew Chief works on other titles as well. We haven't talked about Caps or Race Labs or anything else along those lines. If we had, you know, taken the time to write this all out, mention every single thing that would be available, this would be a two-hour-long show.
Easy.
Very easily. But because we kind of chose it to be a bit more freeform so we can get into our typical hour-long time frame, just so it's a little bit more congestible. Because when we don't want to overwhelm people with information, because you can very quickly, again, the rabbit hole that is modding, there's a lot of things that are out there. There's a lot of information that you can go into. We haven't talked about things like FOV. We haven't talked about things.
There's field of view mods, there's HUD mods, there's There's content mods. There's
we haven't talked about the.
There's things. Even mods you can put down to the wheels on a Vauxhall.
Yeah. We haven't talked about things like triple screens versus ultra wides versus having just one monitor or anything along those lines. There's so much that you could get into on this subject that we just simply don't have time for. But yeah, a couple other games to mention. We've talked about Forza and GT a lot on here. Great place if you don't want to put a lot of money into this. Start. If you were going to start now, probably your safest bet would be Gran Turismo, just because you can still buy GT7. You cannot buy...
And it's still being supported and updated regularly.
Yes. In fact, I think there's probably an update due the end of the month.
I believe you are right. Actually, yep. No, I think they just had an update fairly recently.
Might have just had an update fairly recently. But anyway.
Like in the last week or two.
Yeah. And as much as it pains me to say that, as a Forza guy who has, you know, a Forza League, which is what this show originally started talking about, GT7 is probably the best platform for beginning sim racers right now.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Race Room, kind of the... I don't want to call it the redhead stepchild of the sim racing world. It's just the people who love Race Room, and will tell you how much they love Race Room. But it's not one that gets covered a lot, particularly on shows like this, just because of, you know, I'm not sure, honestly. I know I don't cover it as much as we should because it's not one of the most popular platforms out there.
It is very niche. And I think it's because it's like an iRacing, but it's more expensive iRacing.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about their content update last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be adding a bunch of Porsches to the title over the next couple months. They had that other pack on the Edge that had the Mazda DPI car
in
it back in April. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we really don't talk about the game that often.
I think it's because we're not so very hands-on with it.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Jordan, I think, was the most hands-on with it. Altogether, excuse me. But even still, he didn't really play it a whole awful lot either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they had that driver pack a couple back in December that had Jimmy's Praga in it.
Yeah. Was it that one?
Yeah, pretty sure it's that one. At least that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yes, they were the one. That was the one. I was thinking the most recent one that also had the Mazda that you were just talking about as well, the DPI inside of it, because it also had the KTM, and there was another GT4, but it wasn't the Praga. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head now, but not important.
Yeah. It's not that the game is expensive. I mean, the cars are fairly cheap. The cars are less expensive than an iRacing car. That's just full stop. Fact.
But first, if I'm not mistaken, that's where they get you.
Hmm?
It's the service, if I'm not mistaken, that they get you.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, for whatever reason, Race Room's just not as popular. But does that mean that it's not as good of a title? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last little bit that we're going to talk about, again, just because I just had this thought, there are other platforms out there that we might not have mentioned. So if you're looking for experience that we didn't just describe, do some research. See what else is out there. Anyway, last 2 or 3 minutes of the show, the last thing that we think that you should probably consider is figure out how serious you want to be about sim racing. Do you just want to be casual? Do you just want to play offline events against AI? Do you want to do the full public, you know, dive straight into Mazda MX-5 rookies on iRacing? Do you just want to do private leagues where you can show up, sign up for a community, and just kind of get like the feel of racing? Do you want to be super sweaty about that and do series with prize pools, things like that? These are things you should probably think about before you jump in to sim racing, just so you're getting as much as you out of this as you want, which is pretty much like the big overarching thought of this whole program, is that as long as you figure out all of these things, and you can make sim racing your sim racing experience whatever it is that you want to be, and if it's fun for you, then great. Anything to add, Chloe?
No, you pretty much said it all right there. You and Jordan both have a really good habit of doing that.
Of finishing your thought before you
even get to spit it out.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's because we've done this show together for so long that we've just become a unimind.
Get out of my head, Williams. Get out of my head.
Get out of my... Anyway. Yeah, so... That was a very long topic to cover, but again, it could have been much worse.
Could have been.
Yes. So that brings us to the end of tonight's program. Matt and Steven, not Matt and Jordan, good grief. Matt and Steven will
That's
be back.
That's a dollar.
Yeah. Matt and Steven will be back next week for, and we'll be returning to our regularly scheduled schedule of UK-US, UK-US, until such time as we need to change it again, because, you know, people are busy. People go on vacations.
Not looking at anybody. Hunter.
Yes, Hunter. Man goes to the Spanish Canary Islands.
And doesn't even invite us.
Doesn't even invite us and doesn't bring us back any souvenirs.
No, that was the part I was most disappointed about. Didn't bring me back anything good.
Anyway, Louie, final thoughts?
Hashtag eat more tacos, and also stay tuned for On the Grid.
Yes. For those who are listening to this live, stay tuned for On the Grid. And for those who are listening to this after the fact, be sure to check out all of the various other podcasts that are available from the Radio Show Limited Network. So that does it for me and Louie. Everyone have a great week out there. Remember, stay safe, stay nice, be kind, and bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast, wherever you get your podcasts.